T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Separation. You're going to make a tackle or you're going to get the football.
Rolling left after the fake. He's going to air it out. Deep downfield. Has a man open. It's caught at the 15-yard line by Van Jefferson. And he gets up and rumbles to the end zone. Matthew Stafford with a bomb. It's got the great arm. We know that. And then Jefferson makes the catch, rolls over, doesn't get touched, and takes it in.
No touch there by either defender, which would have put the ball down at the 12.
Everybody can tackle. A million people get tackled. Everybody can't get the ball.
I know everybody has their own opinions, and I respect that. I wouldn't agree with that in regards to starting with Sean or you know, I think that that's a learning experience, like I said yesterday, to where when that happens, you know, they both tried to, like, nonchalantly tag him. You know what I mean? So it was like, it just, you got to do it more aggressively. And you got to make sure that if anything, you got to hit, you got to hit him. You know what I mean? So don't put any gray in it to where when he gets back up and runs that you didn't touch him. That's probably the biggest thing. And those guys, I'll guarantee you that entire defense will learn from that. And our offensive players will learn from that too. If you're not touched, stand up and run and turn it into a touchdown. So I know that Sean is teaching those guys the right thing to do, and I know that those guys will definitely learn from it.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons on The Score.
It was a learning lesson, folks. It was a learning lesson, and now I think we can all feel confident that Eddie Jackson and Sean Gibson will use their skill talent to make sure that they touch a guy next time. I like Tayshaun Gibson an awful lot. That's a bad brain fart by him and by Eddie Jackson, of course, on that play. And that story and how that has gone here over the past couple days has not done Matt Nagy any favors locally and also nationally. In a couple of minutes, you'll hear from a common national detractor of Matt Nagy, who went very, very hard on him in his most recent appearance. So we'll get to that in a second. But want to catch up on some of your texts on the topic that we laid out for you in the last segment. It's Spiegel here on Parkins and Spiegel, going solo today. Little White
Any
Sox
Hungarians?
Stuff.
Any, no.
Dude, the besmirching of Hungarians that's going on in the text lines is outrageous. And here's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to share every one of these texts. Here's one. My ex-wife is Hungarian. I can confirm the immensely stubborn traits that were being discussed by that one texter and his one friend.
The zip code in Hungary's capital city is 5000-5491. Any text from there?
I haven't seen any there. Is the 815 anywhere near there? Is that possible?
Honestly, it's close enough.
I learned my trade, machining, from an old Hungarian. He was one of the most stubborn people I have ever met.
This is problematic.
Because Matt Nagy is stubborn. Oh, no. Not just arrogant like Wayne Larrabee calls him out, but the stubbornness is a big deal.
Did Ted Phillips do any research?
He did not do enough ethnic profiling when it comes to Matt Nagy. Like, that's the basis. That's the basics of you're going to be hiring a coach, the first thing you do. Right?
Are they Hungarian?
Whatever ethnicity they are, is you figure out what ethnicity they are, and you make sweeping generalizations that will dictate their personalities for the next 5 years. That's how I would do it.
Is this guy a Polish?
Or is he a brat?
We hate socks and sandals here at Hallis Hall.
What, is that a Polish thing?
I think so.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
My Polish friends growing up, all their dads wore socks and sandals.
Look, I've been known every once in a while to just pop the Birkenstocks on over my socks. I'll do that. I don't care. I know it's I know it's a bad look. Thank you, Al Michaels. So I'm saying that Al Michaels has lots of apathy in it. Is there any judgment? Is there any like disgust or disdain? Or is that just, is it just a space filler, like so he can think of the next thing to say? Is that all he's doing?
That's just him going, I'm here in the physical sense, but not in the sense that I probably should be for what I get paid to be.
I should have something better to say. In the meantime, I'll say, yeah.
Hey, 630. My friend Gary, who, by the way, is near 7 feet, has been referred to as Hungarian, also very stubborn.
There you go.
Confirmed. We once again.
4 for 4.
Are we stepping over a line here?
No, I'm being careful not
to. In 2021?
Every time you open a mic, I'm afraid that we're going to. Frankly. I feel like there is a way to walk this line and enjoy ourselves and have some giggles, but then you took it to the Polish, and I'm like, well, the good news is I'm Polish. And so that inoculates me.
Fine.
Right away.
That means I can say it. I know I have a Polish friend.
Texter is imagining tomorrow's forced apology towards the Hungarian-American community after the open tomorrow. I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize. Also, chicken paprikash is delicious.
And I consider myself a man of faith and a man of goulash.
A man of goulash. There's a deep drive to left by Castellanos. That will be a home run. Texter is 50% Hungarian, and I am too stubborn to admit that I am stubborn. So yeah, says. I'm leaving chicken paprikash to you and all other Hungarian delicacies, Shane. You're in charge of that. So, but what I was doing, other than besmirching Hungarians gently, was running down the list of Bears coaches and the cycle of public opinion that I myself have been a part of, and I know you have been a part of too. Texter says that he was born in 97, and I was describing his depression in his mid-30s. Another one says, look, is this just a product of poor leadership from the top, not having a football czar, and also forcing GMs to pair themselves with coaches? Yes, not having an actual football czar is the biggest issue. And I know that not having a quarterback is the first thing we landed on as the commonality, and that is, of course, true. But, man, it's why every time there's an opportunity, every time it comes up, to go through the McCaskey family tree and figure out, does anybody there actually know football? It's when you do it. It's, you know, you look around it and you're like, no, they need to bring in somebody. So, like, we'll see what happens over the next 20 years. Let's have this line of demarcation for the Detroit Lions, who brought in Chris Spielman and are allowing him to be there after the next GM. If Spielman and whatever GM and coach, it's obviously Dan Campbell, but if those guys fail, Spielman will theoretically still be there and will know to not just make a retro, you know, a reactionary hire, as the McCaskies clearly have done, as I gave you one, then the other, then the other, then the other. That's what they've done. No, maybe Spielman would be like, oh, no, the only thing that was wrong was this and not everything. You don't just change everything. So let's check back in 20 years. I don't know what you guys are doing. Tanny, Shane, I'm sure you'll still be producing the show. And by then, we will all be Hungarian because they're slowly taking over the world. Texter says, we need to find a coach in the middle, somebody who cares about offense and can coach it, but is smart enough to pay attention to actually being a head coach, not an offensive coordinator, not looking down at the play sheet. We just have to stop these wild swings to either side. Andy the Eagle fan reminds us that when Lovie Smith got fired, Andy Reid was available for a few days. Few days in there. Think of where the Bears might be. He seems to recall me saying that would be a terrible hire. Andy the Eagle fan has a good memory. I've been known to say things into microphones, so it's possible that I said that. If I said that, I was wrong. I was very, very wrong. Texter says, personally, I try not to get too high or too low on coaches and players. It's why I'm not pounding my fist that Fields needs to start. We all know it's going to happen soon enough, but with lofty hopes, some have invested in the kid. If he isn't great, the backlash may be worse than Cutler. I get it. Well, you know, not getting too high and not getting too low is a really sensible way to go through one's life, but it just isn't a way to watch sports. It isn't. You know, I like the roller coaster.
Hey, you know I don't like to open the phones very often, but can you please take line one?
Absolutely.
I'll air it for you.
Thank you very much. Bob is in Downers Grove, and Bob is now on 670 The Score, Spiegel Solo and Parkinson Spiegel. Hi, Bob.
Speaks, what's happening?
Hey, man, so many things. Are you here to stand up for Hungarians or help pile on, sir?
Well, I don't know. I'm just going to speak the truth, man. You know, okay. I used to work for a Hungarian restaurant owner, right?
Yeah.
And on multiple Saturday nights, the guy was crazy. He was insane, a shortest temper, and this thick Hungarian accent, right?
Yeah.
So on multiple Saturday nights, there would be a patron walking through the restaurant who he would confuse as a server, and he would walk up at the top of his lungs, we'd be packed, and just start berating this person. I would have to walk from behind the bar and be like, Gabor. That was his name, Gabor. I go, Gabor, she doesn't work here. He'd look at me, Bobby, shut the – get out, get behind the bar. Oh, my God, he was insane. So I can absolutely confirm that Hungarians are not only insufferable, they are impossible.
Not all of them. Not all of them. Your specific situation. And that guy wasn't a pitcher,
listen,
right?
I got a little more on the coaching situation, man.
of course you do. It's the score. Go ahead, Bob.
Of course. So the problem is absolutely the McCaskies. One thing that all of those coaches have in common, well, with the exception of John Fox, it was his last job, but it was all of their first jobs, right? And that does two things for the McCaskies, right? It keeps the money way down. When they fired Bubby Smith, they were either firing him or hiring him for his third contract, which would have made it like $8 million a year. There's no way the McCaskies are paying $8 million a year for any coach ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing it does is it creates this sense of reverence for the coach, right? Because the McCaskies gave him his first job. So they're never going to talk bad about the McCaskies and how absolutely cheap and uncaring about football that they are. This has been the situation for my entire life. I mean, the only thing the McCaskies can decide what to pay on, like the salary cap is fixed. All the players' salaries, they know exactly what they're paying them. The only thing they can decide is what they're paying the coaching staff.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bob, for your Hungarian thoughts, most of them, not all of them, and also for your coaching thoughts.
How you guys doing, first of all, whatever?
Yeah, it's that Bob. It's that guy. I don't think it's a monetary cheapness in paying the coaches, but that sense of control, that sense of giving somebody a chance and they are then beholden to you when you yourself are not very powerful in a football sense. You know, you don't have a lot of knowledge. You don't have a lot of gravitas other than the fact that you write the checks and you're the owner. Like, you bring in a football czar, you bring in a real big shooter, a serious football big shooter, and they're going to be the cock of the walk and they're going to run that place. And they should. And they're going to maybe tell you what to do. Maybe they don't like being told what to do. I've certainly heard that. So, yeah, dangerous. God, I love that story about his guy who owned the restaurant, Gabor, just berating a patron, thinking that they actually did work there.
Phone lines wide open for anti-Hungarian propaganda today, by
the way. All right, how about pro-Hungarian? If anybody wants to stand
absolutely.
Up, passionately.
I doubt we're going to get any calls, but... Yeah.
Look, and then we can be the vessel for your anti- or your pro-Hungarian propaganda. Texter says, not just goulash, but a good goulash. Hard to beat. Invite me to that Score kitchen, and I'll prepare some for you. So that guy wants to come here and make goulash for us in the Score kitchen. And it's been far too long into this show where I've not mentioned Al Raboski. The extremely mad and stubborn Hungarian. He should have been the stubborn Hungarian as a pitcher and relief pitcher, not the mad one. Al Raboski, alive or dead? For a long time, he was showing up at old-timers games, and he had a hat that had fake long hair so he could replicate his mad Hungarian persona on the mound.
Alive.
Nice. Booking.
72 years young.
Shane, let's talk to Al Raboski today.
Put him on the show. Put Al Raboski on the show, Shane.
What's that? Danny?
Danny. That's my Danny. Shane?
Al Raboski's on.
Al Raboski, king of the bat flip.
Put him on the show, Shane.
He's on. He's ready. I would talk to him.
Is he there? oh, that's inside. That's real inside.
That's real inside. Oh, God. 312-644-6767. That's the text number. And somebody had said, out of all those head coaches, how many had head coaching experience? Like Bob mentioned, it was not since Patty Driscoll with two D's had they hired a head coach with previous head coaching experience. John Fox broke that cycle, but was absolutely terrible. I mentioned that a common Matt Nagy detractor was on fire today. Michael Lombardi, at least he was early. He was an early adopter of his anti-Matt Nagy stance, his anti-Mitch stance, too. Obviously, the Mitch one aged well. We'll see how well the Nagy one ages. But he went off with Mullion Hall this morning.
You have to be honest with yourself. I mean, I think the biggest concern that I had going into the Bears season, everybody focused on quarterbacks. I kept saying, are they any good on defense? I mean, they might be the most overrated defense in the league. Everybody thinks they're good on defense, but are they? I think that's the fundamental question Bears fans have to ask. I mean, before you unravel the quarterback mystery, are they good enough to win defensively? And I think what you have to do as an organization is, at before the season starts, and certainly after the first game, to sit down and say, how do we play a game to win the game? Like, what do we have to do to highlight our strengths? What are our strengths? And then formulate a game plan around that.
Michael, we heard from Matt Nagy on Monday saying he did not talk to Eddie Jackson and Tayshaun Gibson after both safeties failed to touch the receiver at the 12-yard line who went in to score. And we talked about how that could be with the four-hour flight home and why he waited so long. And today we're hearing from Marquise Goodwin, who's questioning the play calling publicly. It sounds like a new player kind of challenging, saying things that you kind of surprising to hear from a new player. Is it too early for leadership concerns at Hallis Hall? Do you think that this is a season that – does Matt Nagy need to kind of reassert control over things there?
Well, why is anybody surprised he didn't say anything? I mean, he's too busy looking at his play sheet. I mean, seriously, he's not a – he's an offensive coordinator, you know? I mean, like, seriously, like, that's what I keep complaining about. When I come on this radio show, I talk about it, that he's looking like he's playing Madden. I mean, that's another example of it. I mean, like, seriously, you're the head coach of the team. Your two guys don't even tag the guy off, and you don't even go over to him and talk to him or address it. You know, like that's – it's called leadership. Like, you only are going to get what you demand. You know, you're either coaching it or allowing it to happen. You know, and you can't just be the offensive play caller. You got to be the structure of the game, the chief figure out officer. And if you're not willing to have confrontation with the players are going to walk all over you. They're going to walk all over you, and you've got to be able to demand. That's why the NFL head coaching position is as much about leadership as it is about play calling. Mike Tomlin leads. You think Mike Tomlin wouldn't have walked over and said something to those two cats? Huh? Think about it. I mean, answer your question that way. Instead, you know, would Bill Belichick have said nothing to the guy? Of course not. Would Bill Parcells have said, oh, thank you. No worries. I got it. I'm going to look at my play sheet. Come on. Like, that's just not how you operate. That's not leadership. Leadership is demanding. Like, hey, guys, I mean, you can say, well, they knew they should have tagged. No, they didn't. They didn't touch him.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I think that makes all the sense in the world. It just... I mean, football is different. It's different for better or for worse. You can say you don't like the super macho, tough philosophy, and you can be a cerebral host talking about it like Bernsie and like Parkins. And I go at Danny with this sometimes. I should probably go at him even more with it, and I promise you I will. It's like, but just like the macho football mentality is a reality for the bulk of your room, and you got to be strong, man. You gotta be strong. You gotta want to have all those kind of critical conversations. And if they're public, so be it. And maybe every once in a while you have to undress a dude publicly. Or at least just talk to him. Make him be accountable. You're not their pal as a head coach. You are not. I would be a bad head coach. I enjoy when people like me. Okay? And it's obviously driven me personally to my avocations, which have become vocations. And then you get older and you realize, wait a minute, that can be a real detriment sometimes. That can be a real problem. And trust me, I've worked on it for a lot of years to make sure that I don't let that guide me too much, you know? And here's the thing, as a leader, as a head coach, you can't be worried about that with everybody. And... you know, I've wondered for a while now how much Matt Nagy is worried about that. And I get it. You want to connect with your guys. You want them to love you. You want them to like you. You want them to dance with you. All of that.
but you got to have their respect in football. You must have their respect. And that is a very simple thing to add, that specific of going over and talking to them and looking at the play sheet instead is a very specific thing to add to the pile of why Matt Nagy should not be calling plays. As Hub is already there. Hub is there after 1 week. And that is a pretty serious place to get to. So we talked to Hub yesterday. All right, it's 670 The Score. It's the Parkins and Spiegel Show. Me, I'm Spiegel, and I'm soloed today. And I have never met a Hungarian who I thought was too stubborn. Okay? I have not, personally, myself. I've never met a Hungarian who I said, that guy is just the right amount of stubborn either. I've never noticed. But boy, you guys have really opened my eyes to this potentiality. So we'll look at it a little bit more in the future. It is still baseball season. The White Sox have a Kimbrel conundrum. We need to dig into this. And we're going to do so next on 670 The Score.
Yeah, he's throwing some pitches, no doubt about it. Hernandez jumps a 96 or 97 out fastball. You got to give the hitter credit for that. They punched out the second hitter, and then he got missing with his slider. But the way I look at that, you're going to have tough situations, but it's really tough when you give up the run and you give up, and all of a sudden they got two or three on the board. All I got was one, That run scored, and he got the next guy out, and we had a chance to win it. So, he's a Hall of Fame candidate. We're thrilled to have him, and we'll give him a night just tomorrow. I'm sure he'll be off Tuesday as well, but by Wednesday, can't wait to pitch him.
I heard my team today. It's been too long since we heard Tony Cash. Because Kimbrel had no feel.
Dump him.
What? I can't sing like Johnny Cash. It's the best. I miss that bit. Craig Kimbrel is an issue, folks. He's an issue. And Tony knows it. And Tony has helped cause it, frankly. I really do not like the way that Tony La Russa has handled this situation so far. Right from the get-go, it speaks, by the way, solo on Parkins and Spiegel today. Right from the get-go, the first thing they said, you remember what they said, how they were going to use these guys, that they were both going to be closers. Hendricks and Kimbrel were both going to be closers. And that has not been the case. It was not the case right off the bat. You were looking today, Shane, at the game logs. Was it August 26th?
August 26th, after being acquired on July 31st, was his first appearance in the ninth inning.
That's the first time that Craig Kimbrel sniffed the ninth inning. Now, the White Sox did go off on a bit of a losing jag right there after the deadline, so save chances were not readily available. But what they had said they were going to do, at least what Tony had said they were going to do, was alternate, was go back and forth. Hendricks is the closer one night. Kimbrel's the closer the next night. In getting ready to use them at any time in any inning as these unbelievable weapons come the postseason. Instead, Kimbrel has been wedged into an eighth inning guy. And he has not been comfortable. There's a misunderstanding that I feel like is very common whenever we talk about the mentality of a pitcher and comfort in his role and whether that might be a problem or not. I'm saying, whenever I talk about it, that it then leads to another problem, another specific problem. Like, Kimbrel does get out of whack mechanically, okay? This happens to him a fair amount, at least in the last 5 years of his career, last 4 years of career, where he gets out of whack mechanically. And that can happen because he is uncomfortable. Because if you're not comfortable, if you're not confident and in your routine and in your role, then you can get out of whack mechanically, okay? So when, like, I say, boy, it's just he's not comfortable there. It's really messing with him. It's not what he thought he was going to be. It's been an adjustment for him, which his teammates have said too, which he has said too, which everybody has said. That doesn't mean that that's the only problem. No, that means that that discomfort, that awkwardness, that adjustment has led to mechanical issues, which now need to get fixed. That's what happens to Craig. some of the best writing of certainly this baseball season in terms of hardcore, in-depth, mechanical assessment of pitchers came out from James Feegan on The Athletic. When it kind of got buried because it was the 10th of September. That's a Friday. That's last Friday. And I would have given it lots of shine on Sunday the 12th, but I didn't do hit and run that morning. But my God, if you're interested, the stuff about Kimbrel's fastball and where his release point is and how different it is than Liam Hendrick's release point and how they have to approach it very differently and how they have to get on top of the fastball. And is that might be similar phrasing, but it is a completely different methodology because of where they throw it. This is fascinating stuff. It is great stuff. It is obviously born of some serious trust between Ethan Katz and James Feegan. And I think I have to assume also Kimbrel and Hendricks, who are both quoted in here, Ryan Tepera as well. And there's, of course, a lot of incredible data, or is it data, that Feegan goes through and finds as well. But my God, it's fascinating. And what it gets to eventually backs up what I'm saying, which is that the Craig Kimbrel does get out of whack. And he gets out of whack fairly easily on that fastball. And then he gets wild with it. Or it doesn't have the usual run and ride that makes him so effective. He knows how to fix it. It's very complicated, but he knows how to fix it. So then Feegan at one point says, so if Kimbrel's such a genius, why did he struggle for a whole year with the Cubs and upon joining the White Sox? For one, there's the obvious elephant in the room. Ryan Tepera said, I think it's a little bit of an adjustment for him. He is who he is. He's a Hall of Famer in my eyes. It's been a little bit of an adjustment pitching in the eighth inning. But with the talent we have in this bullpen, that's how it's playing out right now. That's how the roles are going. Assuming that Kimbrel is going to show up in the postseason and because the lights are bright, pitch in the eighth with the same mentality and the same mechanical control that he has pitched in the past is folly, frankly. Like, I've had conversations with some very smart people. Kevin Goldstein on Hit and Run a couple weeks ago. I still think when the lights go on that he'll be the guy, that he'll be Craig Kimbrel. A lot of people. It's like, you know, when the moment comes, that's because you're going to have to trust him, right? You got him. It's a very scary situation to me. Because Tony, as we know, and when I say I don't like the way that Tony has handled it, it's not just because of the lack of alternating. It's also because he's not doing what he told you he was going to do. That night in Tampa was a Friday night. Shane traveled down there. He was at that series, mentioned on the Hit and Run that Sunday. I think this is August 26th. Is that right? On the Friday night when
20th.
Thank you. So Kimbrel comes out. He's wild. But then he gets two guys and seemingly has it under control, and then Tony goes out and yanks him. They end up winning the game. That's an Anderson late game winner.
And tie. He tied that game and won it.
That's right. That was T.A. Yeah. Tying it and winning it.
7-5.
A great game and a great win. And Tony, after the game, said that...
You make those moves blocked. But in this case, when it's Craig Kimbrel, future Hall of Famer, it was not the move that, you know, he earned that challenge, and I took it away. But I took it away because the whole time sent him out there. Explain one more time, you know, you do this. I knew he had had 3 days rest and pitched the game, and this is a two-run lead. I'm thinking, man, this is not. I hope if it starts good. Then when he walks the first guy in, he goes, oh, man, this is, so I was thinking, unfair to him. That's why I did it. But I think what's worse than being unfair is not showing confidence. I'd be hard pressed to think about winning a great game and enjoying it less than I do right now. So that's about it.
He won a great game, but he enjoyed it very, very little because he knows he did not give Craig Kimbrel confidence by taking him out. If you really are in tune with that, why haven't you given him ninth inning chances to get a save and lock it down and be the dude? That's what he's done his whole life. He has grown off that confidence. He has built off that confidence his entire freaking life. You want to give him confidence? You want to show him you believe in him? Should have been putting him in the ninth every once in a while from the get-go. Didn't do it for the entirety of the first month and ought to be doing it now. And maybe he will be doing it now. But this has been the opportunity here where you've got, what, a 12-game lead in the division? That's what it was as of yesterday. This crazy, so obviously 12 is if it's not 13 today. I don't even look anymore. It doesn't even matter. Kimbrell should be getting shots in the ninth inning. You want to build his confidence? Then really do it. Then give him it. There's Tony acknowledging it, but it's not like he changed. So, look, I'm saying this needs to get fixed, and the way to fix it is both mechanically and mentally. And could it be fixed by the time the playoff comes? The playoffs come? Yeah, sure it could, but it needs to be fixed. The Cubs found a way to fix it with Kimbrell, and Ethan Katz is as smart as anybody. The White Sox are as adept technically as anybody. They can look at all this stuff. They know they've got Edgertronic and they've got all their stuff and Rapsodo. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, we got that. You bet.
Rapsodo. If somebody uses the Rapsodo and the high-speed camera more than us, I'd like to shake their hand.
Uh-huh. Coop knows.
All right, but let's revisit.
But hold on.
Let me
just finish the thought real quick. This needs to get fixed. And if it's not fixed, then he ought to be skipped. If Lance Lynn goes seven innings, then you go Kopech, bummer if you need him, and Hendricks.
But it won't be fixed, Beegs, if you don't let him pitch his way out of it.
So throw him. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely let him pitch. I'm not saying rest him at all. I'm saying fix it and let him pitch as you're fixing it. Absolutely. But let him pitch and get it fixed mechanically and also give him some ninth innings. Give him some damn ninth innings.
All right, fine. I get that. So what you're saying right now is if he's not 100% fixed, at least up to your standards by October, you're not pitching him in the playoffs.
Don't be afraid. And here's the thing. There's
No. I feel like you're backtracking.
Because Tony's not going to do that, but I sure wouldn't. I sure wouldn't. At this bold. Point, if Kimbrell is this guy, if I get to the end of this season and I'm looking at my bullpen and the strength that it presents and my opportunity, I would be a guy, I'd be a manager who would want to skip him. There's no way that Tony does it, but I would want to skip him.
I respect you for being so bold about it. It would very much surprise me if Craig Kimbrell, if he's not 100% Craig come October 5th or 6th, whatever it is.
You're going to let him figure it out in the playoffs?
I give him the chance to, maybe in a not-so-high-leverage situation.
In 2018, when Kimbrell gave up runs in his first four appearances of the postseason for the Boston Red Sox, they stopped going to him pretty rapidly. They eventually went back to him. They gave him a big break there. And they were lucky enough to reach the World Series. And by the time they got to the World Series, they trusted him a little bit more. He got used in the World Series. But they sure didn't trust him to finish at the very end. It was Chris Sale they trusted to finish at the very end. This has happened before. And if it's me and I'm in charge and I've got this bullpen and Kopech looks like he did the other night, and I've got Ryan Tepera, who's rolling. Tepera or Kimbrell? I know that's where it would take massive, massive stones. But choosing Kopech over Kimbrell, to me, is an absolute no-brainer right now.
Wow. I think that would be, if that's the decision that you had to make in the postseason, I think you would... I don't think Rick Hahn, I think he would lose a lot of sleep in the offseason if his manager said, you know what, give me the rookie who didn't pitch at all last year in the postseason, his first time in the postseason, compared to the guy who's on track to be a Hall of Famer. That would be a rough one, I think, for anyone to process. Like that process
trust
over
your
results.
Eyes. No, trust your eyes, though. Trust. That's what I'm saying, Tanny. If you watch him three times in the last week and he still is not getting on top of the fastball, they know, talk to Katz. If he's still mechanically wrong, and he's given up stuff. I mean, process needs to take the moment into account, not just assume that playoff light going on means things change and he's back to being his Hall of Fame level self.
Here's the issue there. I think that likely activates a lot of trauma with Craig Kimbrell, seeing as it's happened before. In Boston, they went to Chris Sale in the ninth inning over Craig Kimbrell.
Right, at the end.
And it ruined him.
Well,
ruined him.
I don't know if it ruined him, because then he had 6 months off, but he sure showed up with the Cubs ruined. He was definitely ruined and broken when he showed up with the Cubs.
Got to consider the mental aspect, I think.
Yeah, you do. I'm the one who's all over the mental aspect. I think they've screwed it up on the mental aspect so far.
So this might be a situation where you go to Liam Hendricks and say, hey, got to take one for the team here. From here on out until we hit October, Craig Kimbrell is closing ball.
Didn't you assume, what sacrifice has Liam Hendricks made to make this thing work so far?
None.
Zero. Zero. And I'm not saying that's his fault. He said he was ready to make all the sacrifices. They all said the right things. He has not been asked to make a single sacrifice in year one of his four-year deal.
He said it in his introductory press conference. I'll pitch wherever they tell me to and however long they ask me to. Mm-hmm.
And now Hendricks is rolling.
You can't move him now.
Well, sure, you could sell him, hey, I need Craig to do some. Sure you could. You can move him from that. It's maybe especially now that he's rolling. Remember we talked about that when Hendricks wasn't rolling? Said, no, I got to put Craig in there. No, you don't want to mess with Hendricks like that. This is when you mess with Hendricks, when he's rolling. He's fine. Get Kimbrell out there for some ninths, and you better fix it between now and the postseason. It's Spieg Solo on Parkinson, Spiegel on the Score.
With guys like Craig, you step back and watch and observe and see what they do. Because obviously they've done something right for a reason to get where they are. And then after that, you know, if there's some stuff that you see that you're curious about, you kind of dig on the back end. And then when it presents itself, you talk to the player.
That's Ethan Katz talking about Craig Kimbrell. Bottom of the hour, by the way, was brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Yeah, you know, a lot of stuff going on here in my Kimbrell conversation. Some folks getting in, doubting the composure of Michael Kopech. I'm not one of those who doubts the composure of Michael Kopech. I mean, this is a guy who's been very open in talking about mental health issues and opted out last year with a lot going on in his life and stuff. But don't let that inform your judgment of him as a pitcher and what he's been on the mound. Dude has shown incredible composure on the mound, in my opinion, and flexibility, willingness to deal with role shifts and stuff like that. A lot of people going to the place of how that would make Kimbrell a basket case. I understand that you'd lose him forever. And Han would be sitting there going, what did we just give up Cody Hoyer and Nick Madrigal for? And you'd be thinking about the option year and all of that stuff and next year and beyond. So fix it. And I think it's got to get fixed mechanically and mentally. And maybe they're on it. Maybe they're on it already. We will see. There is work to do. And there is work to do with Craig from time to time. That's just kind of how it goes with him. He does break. And TLR, in my opinion, helped him break a little bit. And to be clear, the thought is, if the playoffs started tomorrow and you're looking at only needing two right-handed relievers out of your bullpen on a given night, I would go with Kopech and then Hendricks. That's what I would do. Right now, you've got a few weeks to get this fixed. If he pitches three times in the season's final week and it scares you, don't just be convinced that it's going to be fixed by him working it out in the postseason. So that's my thought. I suspect that Tony will not think that way. And maybe the organization wouldn't even want Tony to think that way. It's a fascinating thing to have these options, to have this incredibly deep bullpen and these options. Tonight, the Angels and White Sox, Dallas Keuchel, and when's Ohtani? Ohtani's tomorrow, right? Man, either you guys going? My Sox fanboys?
You know what, Shane?
But hold
let's
on.
Let's do it. Let's go tomorrow.
We should go tomorrow.
1 o'clock, 1:10.
Tony and I are going tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, we are going tomorrow.
I forgot it's 1:10.
That's a good call.
I forgot it's a getaway digging.
God, it's so much more fun when Spieg is here at any time.
Hey, guys, I'm off tomorrow for the Jewish holiday. I'll be fasting.
Oh, my God.
Another one? Jesus Christ.
That's
how many matzah balls can you people eat?
Yes, he was Jewish. Good call. Nailed it. You're right.
No, but
you're
seriously,
welcome.
I don't think it's Shohei tomorrow. As of yesterday, Joe Maddon said it was going to be Alex Cobb, and then Shohei at home on Friday.
Okay. Ooh. All right. Alex Cobb, I love his salad.
You know what? We should go tomorrow just to be sure.
We should. We should check on Shohei.
You guys should go. Just go check on Shohei.
Yeah, we're going to be there.
And I'll be back.
Joe always does that. He used to do it all the time to say he's going to pitch a guy, then another guy shows up, you know? So, like, you know.
He's notorious for that, actually.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. This guy's going to pitch. Oh, wait, no. I gotcha.
Yeah, it's his calling card.
Especially when it's a 1 o'clock start on a Thursday.
Right.
You know?
You'll have studs in here. He'll be great.
I will not.
I bet.
I won't be here again.
Oh, again.
It is a Jewish holiday.
Another one.
Yes.
God.
Well, this is.
Let's see if you take Christmas off too, huh, you hypocrite?
My wife is Christian.
It doesn't matter. She's
not
working
here. I get a bonus. Well, I got her celebrated with her. And my son loves Christmas.
Is Christine celebrating the Jew holiday with you tomorrow?
It's Jewish holiday, not Drew Holiday. Once again, a point guard for Team USA.
Stop avoiding my question.
She will. She'll be arriving late in the day.
So she's going to work till 5, and then after work, she's going to celebrate the Jewish holiday.
Do you realize what holiday this is tomorrow? It's not really a.
Why you ain't at school?
Ain't no school today.
One of them Jew holidays.
Is it like the equivalent of Labor Day or something?
No, it's harder core than that. This is our one day, as Jon Stewart used to say, this is the one day blowout sale of absolution. We're just getting all of our absolution, packing it in instead of Lent, which he said was like putting your soul on layaway for a while. Layaway? Do people even do layaway? Do people even understand that reference anymore?
I don't think so.
Yeah, probably.
But hold on, just had a text from Mitch come in. Should I just read it live without screening it myself?
See me,
Shane. Stop by for a quickie.
Yeah, stop by for a quickie. He probably wants you to.
I'm not going to read this.
My guess is that he wants you to stop talking about the Milwaukee point guard. It's just my guess.
Yeah, that was a stern text message. I'm going to leave that one alone.
When people don't know that you're quoting a movie and you're giving yourself one extra layer, then,
exactly.
You know, then Drew
Tanny
Holiday.
Tries to provide context with the drop for me, but apparently it's okay for the drop to be played, and yeah. I can't say it.
I only play the drop to cover you, my friend.
Yeah,
thank you. I appreciate that.
That's why he's the adult. I'm the adult on this side. Tony's the adult on that side. That's why, you know, Shane and Danny need us. Tanny, if we weren't here, they would just bicker all day. Just bicker back and forth about nothing. Nothing. What, Shane? You got a problem with that? Really? You do?
You're laughing back there. What's going on?
Shane, Tanny, why are you laughing?
Why are you guys laughing?
About something funny back there.
Somebody want to talk about it?
You talked about the umpire. It was really funny.
Yeah, it was great. It was
a
great bit.
I wanted to slap his face.
It was a great bit. Absolutely. This texter says Shane is the most repellent personality in the history of the score, and that's saying a lot. So congrats, man.
Well, I mean, no mosquitoes, I guess.
I spray Shane all over my arms every summer day, and it's worked like a charm. Jason Benetti next on the White Sox and on himself and on life and curiosity and all sorts of stuff. We'll talk to Jason Benetti next right here on Parkins and Spiegel on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.